Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor, Dustin Daniels.
Genesis chapter 3 is called the fall. It was a decision by Adam to consciously and willfully disobey God by specifically eating from a certain tree. That tree was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Pastor John MacArthur says this about Genesis chapter 3. He says, if we don't understand this chapter, we won't understand the rest of the Bible. We cannot understand the solution to this problem unless we understand the problem itself. And we cannot understand the cure unless we understand the diagnosis. You know, yesterday we finished the lesson on hiding. Hiding in our sin and hiding from our sin. And today we begin a new two-part lesson on the consequences of acting out in sin. This is the actual viewing of pornography, the engaging in masturbation, going to an adult cabaret, hiring a prostitute, you name it. This is the actual sinful and the rebellious behavior that we have, just like Adam chose to eat from that tree. So just what are those ramifications when I choose to keep looking at pornography over years and decades? Well, there are many, but God loves you too much to not discipline you in this area. And why does he discipline? Because pornography is a cheap physical substitute for the emotional and spiritual intimacy that he wants you to truly experience. In today's podcast, we're going to discuss three things. Number one, how uncontrollable consequences have been set in motion after we act out in sin. Number two, how we can't fix sin, let alone the consequences of it. And then number three, why it's true that we gain forgiveness from the act of sinning, but that forgiveness doesn't release us from those consequences. This podcast is from a larger lesson series. It's called The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. The spiral itself is a set of awareness triggers that explain the location as to where you are inside this habit, inside this bondage or addiction, whatever you want to call it, to pornography. So let's get started with today's lesson. This is Five Consequences of Sexual Sin.
Father, I am reminded of the scripture, be still and know that I'm God. Before that air conditioner kicked on, it was incredibly quiet in here. And I'm guessing that for many of us, it's the first time it's been that quiet all week. For 5 minutes, 10 minutes. And it's in the stillness of just being with you that you reveal yourself to us. Thank you for reminding us that we don't have to do anything to be in your presence. You're with us. And we don't have to do anything to gain your favor. Christ has already done that. We pray and you hear our prayers. Thank you for the reminder tonight to be still. To be still and know that I'm God. Father, I continue to pray that you would teach us tonight as we continue to go through this material, dealing with acting out and the consequences because of our acting out. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, gentlemen, if you would, please turn your Bibles to Genesis 3. So we are on trigger number 7 tonight, the actual acting out. Dealing with recovery or addiction or whatever you want to call it. If you go to the bookstore, this is where either temptation or the acting out is where most books focus in, start. But if you notice here, we've gone through seven different triggers to get here, right? We got the awareness. Something's going on. I'm vulnerable to something. That's my first key. I need to either pray, confess, or flee. Unhealthy thought, some type of subconscious going on. The actual temptation, my desire to want to do whatever it is that I want to do. Wait a second, I probably shouldn't do that, so I put the brakes on a little bit. I try to resist. Well, that's not going to be that bad. I'm going to rationalize it. I'm going to rationalize my behavior and my thoughts. As soon as I make that rationalization, boom, I'm going to move into a place of hiding so that I can then act out in sin. So at this point, really acting out is, it's about the actual consequences of our sin. Consequences should be considered as we go through this, but the seduction of the promised pleasure is going to prevent that. After we act out in sin, we can't go back and undo what we just did, right? My grandfather liked to say, you can't unsaw sawdust. Anybody ever heard that? You can't unsaw sawdust, son.
That was before MDF was invented, so your grandpa would be upset.
Before what was?
MDF is now sawdust, so. Yeah. But that was probably before he could make that statement.
Probably.
Make that statement today, you can't undo sawdust.
I can't use that anymore is what you're saying?
You're making stuff out of sawdust. So.
No, you can't unsaw sawdust. Like, you can't do anything with that salt. You can't put it back on the board.
Yeah, they're making boards with sawdust. Just so you can
see, rings. And he was upset I wasn't here. I'm confused.
All right, scratch the analogy. You can't unring the bell. All right, let's look at Genesis 3, looking at verse 11. Genesis 3, verse 11. Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? And by the way, we're going to look at consequences in this passage. The man replied, well, it was the woman. It was the woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit, and then I ate it. We haven't got far, have we, since the beginning of humanity, how we like to blame.
Passing the buck is... been around a long time.
That's part of, that's absolutely right. But look what the Lord does, guys. He asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me, and that's why I ate it. Verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, well, because you have done this, so that's consequence number one, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the animals, domestic and wild. You're going to crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you shall live. Then God said to the woman, I'm going to sharpen the pain of your pregnancy. And in the pain, you're going to give birth. Consequence number two. And your desire, you're going to desire to control your husband. But he's going to rule over you. That's consequence number three. That desire there is not a sexual desire. It's a desire to literally control you, to tell you what to do. That's her sinful bent, is to nag. A man's sinful bent is then to neglect. Or we get tired of it and we get violent. We either neglect or we get aggressive. So that's consequence number three. That her desire will to control her husband, but he's going to rule over you. And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit, by the way, I commanded you not to eat. Remember, I told you that. I didn't tell the woman that. I told you that directly. The ground is cursed because of you. And all of your life, you're going to struggle to scratch a living from it. So that's consequence number four. You guys want to know why it's so hard to make a living at times? It's right here. Verse 18, it will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow, you'll have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. Just a little reminder of where we came from. For you were made from dust, and from dust you will return. Adama, from the ground. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden. That's consequence number 5. And he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. Once again, another reminder. So 5 consequences because of sin. It wasn't the actual physical eating of the fruit, whatever the fruit was. Everybody thinks it's an apple. I heard a pastor say, I think it had some kind of milk chocolate swirled in it or something. Just saying, some type of peanut butter parfait with banana dipped in, you know? But no, it was the desire to want to be like God. Even in a perfect garden, even in without sin, there was still that temptation.
They had it worse than we did.
Say more.
They knew what they had. We have no clue.
Right.
That would suck. Like, tomorrow, let her know they're going to be hanging sheetrock. And I'm going to go like this, 317. That's the verse. But that's my new cuss word now. They knew how great it was, and then they know how lousy it was. They had both sides. We have no clue how perfect things were. This is normal for us. We get it. It's not that big a deal. For them, it had to be horrible.
But you don't know how great things are until you've seen the other side.
No, they didn't know sin yet.
They didn't know how bad things could be.
Right.
So, I mean, we know how great things, like, there's a song that says something like that, like, I didn't know what prison was until I experienced freedom. So it's like, you don't know how good things are until you have it bad, or how bad things are until you have it good. It takes one, it's perspective.
I think he had the best and the worst.
They did know after the fact, yeah.
Right. I don't think we've had the best. We never know what Adam and Eve had for that small time. I don't know how much time that would have been. We have no clue how awesome that would have been.
Yeah, their life changed dramatically in a moment from perfection to
imperfection.
Yeah. I mean, we live in houses that we didn't build. We eat food that most of the time we didn't cook. You know, we wear clothes that we didn't make. Adam and Eve did not have that luxury, did they? They didn't have a shovel to break the ground or a hammer to...
Perfect weather, and then the weather. Who knows what the weather was like after?
Yeah.
I mean, what's this stuff falling from the sky?
So we see 5 consequences from one choice. And make no doubt about it, it was Adam's responsibility. He should have stepped in and went, uh-uh. He was right there the whole time because the Lord spoke to him and said, do not eat from this tree. A lot of people go, oh, it was the woman's fault. No, it's not. It's his fault. He was specifically instructed by the Lord. So key point number 1 on your worksheet is uncontrollable consequences have been set in motion. Uncontrollable consequences have been set in motion. When we choose to sin, we choose to suffer. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The New Living Translation says this, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So we see in the book of Galatians that we've got 2 choices. There is no in-between. You're either living from your flesh or you're living in the spirit. You got two choices there. There's no gray area, right? Key point number two, Jesus came for a problem that we can't manage. We can't fix sin, let alone the consequences of sin. Jesus came for a problem that we can't manage. If Jesus came for a problem that we could actually fix, would he have come at all? If some of us could actually fix this, would he have come at all? Of course not. Key point number three, it's true that we gain forgiveness from the act of sinning. But that forgiveness doesn't release us from the consequences.
Jesus came for a problem that we can't manage. Have you ever thought about that? If we could just take care of our own sin problem, you know, this lust problem that I've got, would Jesus ever step down off his throne in heaven? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, if we ourselves could take care of our own lust problem, this sin problem that I have, would Jesus have ever stepped down off his throne in heaven? As we've talked about before in this series, Jesus didn't come to stop us from sinning, from lusting. He came to give us a new heart so that we would and that we could stop sinning. Grace is this gift that we don't deserve. And unfortunately, that grace can turn into like a cheap grace. Bonhoeffer called it a cheap grace because we can turn this thing into a license for me to sin. We can just say to ourselves, well, you know what? God's going to forgive me. God's going to forgive me. And he will, because that's who he is. But as we continue discussing in this series, there's a difference between consequences, grace, and the justice of God. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 6, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, man, they're going to harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. I've experienced so many consequences due to my own stupid sexual sin, to my own shame. I would just bore you to death if I listed them. But it's certainly not something that I'm proud of. But here's the thing. One of the consequences that I could have avoided was choosing to install Covenant Eyes on my computer years before I actually did. By choosing to install a filter on my computer, man, that would have saved a lot of heartache. That would have saved a lot of trials and a lot of temptations. So, you know, I've been using Covenant Eyes filtering accountability software for years. It allows me to avoid all those headaches. So let me encourage you to visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you can receive a 30-day free trial when you put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. When you sign up, you're also supporting this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. I'm Dustin Daniels. If you're in Phoenix, hey, you are invited to join my weekly community group. It's for men and women, husbands and wives, single, divorced. If you don't believe in God, but you're searching and you want to know some answers, come. Everybody's welcome. You're invited to listen to God with us every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. at Northern Hills Community Church. We're in Building A, room 301. You can follow me on Twitter at PurityPastor. You can email me your questions at DustinDanielsRadio.com. Would love to hear from you and respond to your question. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says the kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk. It's living in God's power. That power is the very name, the very shed blood of Jesus Christ. I love you and look forward to our time again tomorrow.